And I was talking to her about the message that the Lord wanted me to preach today. I do realize that there's a lot of messages that are on the TV and on the radio where people are talking about so many familiar scriptures that we know of. One of them that comes to mind is, if my children bow down and seek my face and humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land. I just want to say that everybody is really not a child of God these days. And there's a lot of people that are asking people to pray, and we are going to continue to pray because we know who we are and whose we are. But this is not a time, per se, for us to be praying over the land, because the land has given us a lot of confusion. I believe that this is a time for us to understand and believe who we are in Christ. Because there's so many Christians right now that profess to know Jesus Christ. So many of us that are going through so many things. But right now is the time that we should be standing strong in the promises that he has given us. Amen? And one of the greatest problems that we're starting to see that Christians are facing today is the problem of fear. And if you're a child of the Most High, fear should really not be in our vocabulary. Fear can be defined as a long list of synonyms, such as being alarmed and having despondencies and being dismayed and dread, fright, gloom, horror, panic, and despair. A study of the Bible will reveal that fear has been a companion of man from the beginning of time. There are 17 different nouns and 13 different verbs for the idea of fear in the original language in which the Bible is written. But our Heavenly Father wants to deliver us from fear. There are almost 100 passages in the Bible to exhort us from fear and tells us to fear not. The book of Psalms especially encourages us to have faith in God in order that we might overcome our fears. So if you are in a personal relationship with God, everything in your life has already changed and altered for the better. But when you lack this relationship with God, your life will suffer. But this relationship comes from embracing Jesus Christ through faith. And those who have trusted in him and have a personal relationship with him and believe him, believes when he says, fear not. So let's take a moment and pray together. Father God, as we come to you this morning, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord, because we thank you for all that you have continued to do for us. Father, we trust you in each and every decision and everything that you do in our lives. Father, we stand as beacon of lights because we know, Lord, that you have given us a light to shine in the darkness, Lord. Father, we thank you right now because you have not given us a spirit of fear. You have given us a spirit to understand that each and everything is in your control. So, Lord, as the world is in turmoil and turning about, Father, give us the peace and give us the comfort that we need to make it through right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you have said that if we ask for bread, that you would not give us rocks. So in this predicament that we're in, being citizens of this society, Lord, we believe that you will cover our every need. So we bless your name and we magnify it and we give you all praise and honor. In Jesus' name, we pray and let everybody say wherever you are, amen. In Psalms 27, the scripture reads, as thus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they'll stumble and fall. Although a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I shall seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. In this psalm, David relates the fact that he knows that the Lord possesses, that he possesses the Lord already by faith. You see, David has the faith that throws off fear and the faith that trusts in God in the here and the now. Many think of God as being on the scene in the past. Others think of God being on the scene in the future. But those who experience victory are those who trusted in God being right here, right now, in the present. He is the God of today as well as the God of yesterday and tomorrow. You see, God is more concerned about today than he is about yesterday. He is more concerned about our today than he is concerned about tomorrow, because tomorrow is wrapped up in the decisions that we make today. So I'm saying to you today that God is centered in today. When we go to Hebrews 13 and 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. When David writes in this psalm, he speaks of past victories that the Lord has given him. The faith that David has throws off the fear is the faith that God, or what God has done for him because of yesterday. Because God has been faithful in the past, David is encouraged to believe that God will continue to be gracious. He was able to trust God today in the present because of his personal experiences of God in the past. We must be able to trust God today because of how we trusted him in the past. David, in verse 3, speaks of the faith that trusts God for tomorrow. You see, when he faced uncertain future, he faced it with a calm confidence because of the abiding presence of a good God who had blessed him from childhood in the past to full maturity in times of great danger and difficulty. David knew that his life is only safe in the place where God is and being close to God. David had a faith that conquered fear because he responded to God's movements towards him and he sought to do the will of God. I want to know today, how many are responding to the movements of God today? Amen. I want to know how many children of God are responding to the movement of God today. Amen? Because the movement of God today tells me that everything that is happening has already been predicted. So the movement of God today tells me that I don't need to necessarily be praying for him healing the land. The movement of God today tells me that he is going to, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be pestilence, and this is just the beginning of things to come. Oh, hallelujah. I want us to be in touch and close with God to understand exactly where God's movements are today. And the only way we can understand where his movements are today is to be close to God. David had a faith that he wanted to be where he could see God, where he could speak to God, and he could worship God. This is the desire of his heart. When we believe that we abide in a precious place close to God, then we can believe in the blessed assurance of the God of God that the world don't know. You see, in these days, that's just the kind of assurance that we need as we fight the battles that are going on in this life, the blessed assurance of God. Even when life seems to be going real smooth, we're in the midst of perilous times. You know, when everything is going okay and you're going to work and you're getting paid and everybody has food to eat, you get in your car, you turn it on, and it turns on and it drives. It moves forward and back. You can turn the curb without going into the curb. Everything is fine. Everything is fine when instead of doing the things that God has instructed us to do, that we can deter a little bit because it won't make such a difference, and God understands. But when perilous times come, then we want to turn to God. But God is always there, and we are always in perilous times. The scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. But if you abide," and that is the key word here, that if you abide, those who abide will enjoy God's best. And those who abide will abide in a secret place with him. You see, John 15:5 says this, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." And we see right now, the world is not abiding in the Lord. They're not, and he is not abiding in them. And we can see that there's a lot of rotten fruit that's going on right now, because we can't do nothing without the good God that we serve. So let me allow me to share something with you this morning. That there is a personal guidance, personal assurance that goes along with abiding in the Lord. The scripture says, "He will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle will he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." There are two things I want you to notice about this verse. It is a personal activity. This is something that God does of his own will on behalf of the believers. Amen? Right now, there's people that want you to pray for them, and then don't have this personal relationship with the Lord. But God wants to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Notice that David speaks for himself. He says, "He will hide me." He doesn't say he's going to hide us. He doesn't say he's going to take care of everybody. He says, "He will hide me." So I want to talk to family members right now, because you have to have your own activity, your own personal relationship with the Lord in order for him to take care of you. Many times in the Old Testament, the matriarchs and the patriarchs were able to cover their whole family. But Jesus Christ came along, and he wants everybody to have their own personal relationship with him. Amen? It is required that it is a passive activity. The believer is required to do nothing but be in a close relationship with the Lord. When you have a close relationship with the Lord, you don't have to be jumping up and down. It is a quiet, passive relationship. The message here is that the Lord, although the relationship is intense, he already knows what's happening in your life and mine. As a matter of fact, he already knows before it happens in your life and in mine. We are reminded that he is always in touch with each and everything that we go through. Some of us are sick right now. Let me tell you that he already knows and he is in touch with your infirmity. I venture to say that there might be some people that we know that will be infected with this virus, but he already knows and is in touch with the infirmity already. I want you to understand that he is already on top, on it, in every detail of your life. He is ever present. He's omnipresent. I ask you to look back over the landscape of your past. Look back over your yesterdays and see where the Lord has moved mountains for you, where he has filled in the valleys for you, where he has made a straight path for you. You know, the children of Israel, because of their disobedience, the path wasn't straight for 40 years. But if he had made the path straight for them, it could have taken them a few days to get to the promised land. So God can make a path straight for you. We need to praise the Lord for the fact that he is involved in every detail of our lives. Amen? Many times we're not very detailed or oriented, but God is detailed oriented when it comes to you. I'm talking about a personal relationship, a personal interest that he has in you. The Bible tells me that he knows every hair on your head. So if he knows that every detail of your life, bigger than that, he already is involved in it and he's interested in it. We may not understand the leadership of the Lord in our lives, but I can tell you this, that if you are his, then he is working in your life each and every day, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. And he is guiding your steps. Even right now, when so many things seem out of control, God is still in control. It might seem out of control because it's out of your control. But God is still in control. And in the end, at the end, all of this coronavirus, after all of these pestilences, after all of these things go down, after they're all finished, said and done, you're going to end up exactly where God wants you to be. There is assurance in the guardianship that God has over us. Amen? When David tells us that the Lord will hide him in his pavilion. Well, the king's pavilion was always in the middle of camp. All around the king's pavilion are the strongest and the worthiest, the most honorable soldiers surrounding the tent of the pavilion. In order to get to the king's pavilion, you could not get there unless you had permission to get there. In order to get to the pavilion, you had to go to all of those that were willing to die for the king that was in the middle of the pavilion. Amen. In the middle of the camp. Notice that when he says that the Lord will hide, that means he will treasure away. Well, in the pavilion, the king's treasure, his most valuable assets that he had taken with him at that time were in that pavilion. And when David says that he will hide me in the pavilion, David is saying, I know what I am worth to the Lord. I am a treasure to him, so therefore he's going to hide me in the pavilion. And if you believe in the Lord today and you understand that you are worthy and he loves you and you are precious, then you know that the Lord will hide you in the pavilion of all the things that are going on in the world today. As this battle and battles continue to go on, we are tucked safely away in our king's pavilion. The Bible tells us that our life are hid with Christ in God. Could there be a safer place for us to be today than to be hid in Christ in God? People are being exposed today. I want to tell you today that the emperor is being exposed today. The emperor has no clothes. People are looking at the emperor, and he's proud and he's pompous right now. But to be hid in Christ is to understand that no matter what the emperor says, that God has got you in his hands. Oh, hallelujah. Could there be a safer place? Those who have entered into God's pavilion are protected by him. The battle is raging around us, but there is peace in the valley for us because we're in the camp and in the pavilion of the Most High. When we're in that pavilion, no enemy can penetrate the defenses that God puts up for us because this is a private place. It is protected from the enemy. We have a place to exchange our trouble for his peace. I want to say that again. We have a place to exchange our trouble for his peace. Amen? We have a place that we can find joy even though we're going through some troubled times right now. When you look at the world today, they got no place to exchange their trouble. Amen? They can't exchange their trouble for peace. When we look at them now, those who don't know the Lord, they can't find joy. They can't even find joy because they're troubled by the time. But the Bible tells me that Jesus said, in this life, there will be trouble, but we'll be able to overcome. Amen? There is no greater promise than those who abide close with him. Amen? There's assurance of powerful guardianship that allows us, Jesus' guardianship over us, that will allow us to have peace in the presence of the storms. It will allow us to live this life that we're living right now in confidence and in victory. It was this that allowed David to face Goliath. It was this that confidence that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego confident that their Lord is going to show up. It was this assurance that gripped the heart of David, that when they told him that he can't pray, that he continued to pray to his God. This is the knowledge, this is the assurance that Paul had, allowing him to continue to preach the word of God, teach the word of God, be concerned about witnessing about the word of God when he suffered greatly. I want to know today, in the midst of everything, do we have confidence in the God that we serve? Amen? The same confidence that these men had as they faced some difficult circumstances in their life. Remember, God is still on the throne and he is still in charge. Each time we go through something, we must have the confidence and know that God will still hide us away in the pavilion to provide safety, joy, and even happiness during these battles that are going to go on. Amen. You see, the enemy made this life to be difficult for us, but God knows that although we are powerless against the enemy, we're only powerless when we don't have him as our guardian. You cannot fight these battles alone. You cannot go through all the stresses and strife in this world alone. Those are battles that you cannot win. But when you have Jesus as your guardian, when you have Jesus over you, when you have Jesus showing the way, when you put on the full armor of God each and every day, when you walk the straight path that he has made for you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When we look at the word tabernacle, the tabernacle should bring to mind a place of worship. I want to know right now, in the midst of everything that's going on, I know you're worried about your next meal. I know you're worried about your next paycheck. I know you're worried about your next mortgage payment. I know you're worried about whether or not you if you get sick, if you're going to get medicine. I know you know whether or not when all of this is over, are you going to have enough food and a place to stay and all of that. I know you have those worries right now, but I've got to ask you, in the midst of all this, are you worshiping God? Are you worshiping God because you know that he has you in a secret place? Are you realizing that no matter what happens, do you realize that God is still on the throne? Are you listening to the newspapers? Are you listening to the news that's talking about everything except God? Are you listening to this foolishness that's on the internet where the witches and the warlocks and everybody is putting all these things out there to instill fear in you? Or are you getting in your Bible and you're reading the Word of God? Are you reading about what thus said the Lord? Because when you read about these things that thus said the Lord, there are no surprises. Amen? There are no surprises. There's a scripture that says that God doesn't hide anything. There's no reason for God to hide anything. He says it, and so it is. We understand that the word hide means to conceal. It's amazing that God can afford us a place, amen, that he can put us in where we'll have peace. He can put us in a place where the enemy cannot follow us. He can put us in a place that reserved for those who love the Lord. Have you been to that place yet? Have you experienced that place where everything and all chaos is going on around you, but you're in a place that God is just putting you there and protecting you? Is there a place where everything else just falls away and you're left with God and just him alone? Some of us that are professing religion and relationship with the Lord, this is the time right now, more so than ever, that if you had not and if you have not, that this is the time that you can just get alone with the Lord. This is a time to reinforce your relationship with him. This is a time to get into some Bible reading and some prayer and some study to understand what the word of God is truly has written and what he has said. Because when you do that, all of this other foolishness that you hear and that you read about, you shall not be moved. We're being moved by too many different things, too many people telling us what's going on, what's right, what's wrong, where to go, where to sit, who to listen to, who's making rules, who's saying those rules don't apply to me. When you listen to the voice of the Lord and you have that relationship, when you listen, you'll know how to hear him speaking to you. You'll know how to hear him saying things to you. When you listen to the voice of the Lord and you have that relationship with him, when your family members call you up and come around and all of a sudden they're asking you questions about, is this the end? You can give them the right answer. How many of us have the right answer? There's not going to be one pandemic and it's all over with. We're going to suffer. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be over and over and over and over again. This is just a test. This is just the beginning. When I was in the Navy, I never understood why they did a short cruise, which is move the ship 3 feet off of the dock and you couldn't get off. That's because they were preparing us for when the ship was going to be a little further and further and further and further away from the land and you couldn't get off. This pandemic right now is just a short cruise from the dock of the world as we know it. But the Bible tells me it's going to get further and further and further and further away from the dock that we once knew, that we thought where our safety lied. But we're going to realize that our safety is not on the dock as we once knew it. But the safety is going to be on that old ship of Zion. Oh, hallelujah. Where we're going to be further and further and further away. So we need to get on the ship of Zion right now and understand that as these things continue to happen, that it's going to happen, number one. And number two, that we can be prepared physically, spiritually, emotionally for this. That we can be prepared to tell people what they need to hear. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you're at that place, when you're at that place, you could be like Stephen when he was being stoned at his moment of death. When you're at that place, you can be like Paul when he was in that place during his life. When you're at that place, you can enter into the secret place where everything gets smaller and nothing is larger than God himself. Oh, hallelujah. When we're at that place, we can be in the rock, that rock, Jesus Christ, that rock that puts us far above all the battles that are going on down below, that rock that the eagle flies up to and rises above all the storms that are happening below. The Bible tells us we shall mount up on wings like eagles. Oh, hallelujah. Can you mount up like a wing, like an eagle today? Can you mount up on the wings of Christ today? Can you mount up on the wings of the Bible today? This is the time for us to get serious about what it is that we're doing with our lives, what it is that we're telling people, what it is about the life that we're leading. Amen. I want us to thank God today for his mercy. Thank God today for his grace that allows me and you and everybody else to weather the storms of life. I want you to know today, it is his grace, it is his mercy that is doing it for us. Amen? Without his grace and his mercy, where would we be today? God is the only refuge that we can trust in. He is faithful no matter what happens. No matter what it is that you go through, he remains God. He remains to be trusted in the power that he has. This morning, I want you to learn to abide in that secret place. Why? I can tell you why I need to be able to abide in that secret place. Because I need help. And all of my help is going to come from the Lord. I need a protector. I need Elohim, the supreme, the power, and the might. I need Yahweh. I need the person who, the entity who says, I am who I am. I need Abba, Father, Daddy. I need to be able to call my daddy. I need Elyon. I need the God that is most high. I need El Royal, the God who sees everything. I need El Shaddai, the God Almighty. I need Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. I need Jehovah Nisi, the God that protects. I need Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. I need the Jehovah Shalom, the God who is peace, and the God who can give me peace. Oh, hallelujah. I need somebody to help me, place me in a place of safety. I need him to put me in a place where I can see him and I can experience his grace and his glory. I need to be able to praise his name. And I need to have the kind of relationship that I'm talking about, that you need to have, the relationship where you can just about feel and touch and understand and hear and call out to the God of my salvation. I have to find rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and abide in him. Oh, hallelujah. I say to you today that the God that I'm speaking of, if you don't know that God, you need to get to know that God today. You need to have that relationship with him. There's no special time. There's no special place. He is only interested in today, not yesterday and not tomorrow. I serve a right now God that even in the midst of all the stuff that is going on right now, my God cares for me. My God loves me. My God is going to see me through. There's people out there today that don't know that God. But I say this is a time for the saints of God to stand up and let their light so shine. Because they're going to come to you. You be ready to be that beacon of light. To be that voice of the Lord that they need to hear. To be able to offer up in prayer to the God that we serve. The petitions of the hearts of others. And not just others, but your own petitions. This is a time that we've never seen before. For many of us, we might never see it again. But in the time that these things are going to go on, remember, our God sits outside of time. And his timing of doing things is way beyond whatever we could imagine. So when somebody says to you, oh, this hasn't happened in 50 years. That 50 years is nothing to the God we serve. Oh, hallelujah. But this is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the time for us to start getting it together. We should have got it together a long time ago because the Bible says we don't know how much time we have. No man knows how much time they have. But God knows the time and the season. Because what he's doing right now and what's happening right now has nothing to do with you individually. It has to do with the whole world. Because this world that the master has created, this world that he started, the world that he put into existence, this whole thing is being affected. It's not an individual thing. It is a world that is being affected. And he says, in this world, when he says in this world, we are a minute part of the world. But in this world, so he is starting to do what he says in scripture that he was going to do. So let all that have an ear hear what God is doing, what he has said in his word. The world don't have the ear because they don't read the word. You see, the word, when he says, let all have an ear, hear the words that your preacher is preaching to you. And if it's not from the Bible, if it's not from the Bible, maybe you need to be hearing from somebody else. Because this is what God is doing right now. This is what God said. And God is not a person or entity that he should lie. So, in this time and in this season, it's time for us to get right while we can. It's time for us to witness. It's time for the church to be the church outside of the building. So may God bless you. May he keep you. May you keep searching his word, reading his word, and praying to the God Almighty that God is in control of everything and we subject ourselves to his will and to his way. Amen. May God bless you today.